Julia McFall, good morning to you. You've got an absolute doorstopper. It is the latest product of the relentless Tina Brown, the Palace Papers.
It's an absolute whopper. It's, 500 pages long. It took her 2 years. She hit the fines and she spoke to over 120 sources. And essentially what she's produced is the companion volume to her, I think, 2007 epic, The Diana Chronicles, which was, I think, personally, the definitive account of the Diana years within the royal family. Tina Brown followed that up about 5 years ago with the highly regarded Vanity Fair diaries, which were an account of her years editing Vanity Fair. Before that, she edited Tatler magazine in London. She went on to edit The New Yorker, and she and her late husband, Sir Harry Evans, were essentially part of the Manhattan gilded media set of the 90s and the noughties. So her contacts book is absolutely unrivaled. I mean, she goes to parties with, or did with, Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis and the Clintons and the Kennedys and the great and the good. And if you look at, as I always try to do when I read royal biographies, if you look at the acknowledgements, I've never seen such a groaning acknowledgement section as in this book, The Palace Papers. I mean, it mentions about three or maybe even four former prime ministers. You know, there are archbishops in there, there are historians, there's a Dimbleby, there's a Sharma. She talks to basically Burke the peerage, because she has access, Tina Brown. She's got chops, being part of sort of a relatively elite set herself. So I was really looking forward to this book, because if there's one thing that Tina Brown does brilliantly, better than all the rest, is she tells brilliant story. She's got a magazine editor's laser eye for a good story, but she tells it in the most sparkling, effervescent prose. It's like drinking cold champagne, and it makes sort of other royal biographies, and there must be like a dozen a year, sort of feel like slopping warm beer. So I had great fun reading this, even though it was massively long, and it's just camp, jolly, good fun, full of gleaming domestic detail. So what she does is she looks back at the last 25 years of the Windsor's fortunes, from the sort of existential crisis caused by Diana's death in 97 right through to today. So she looks at all of the challenges, the ups and the downs, all the psychodramas, and she she's very fair, quite even, and she gives several chapters to each of the senior royals. So you've got obviously the Queen and Philip, Margaret, a whole section on Prince Charles and Camilla. Camilla actually starts the book. The sons, Harry and William, their somewhat striving wives. And then there are, Tina Brown being Tina Brown, she does sort of run into large sidebars, if you like, of social commentary. So there's a section on the phone hacking scandal and the egregious way the younger royals were spied on, essentially, listened to, hacked and followed. There's a chapter on the London Olympics, which I haven't quite understood why that was shoehorned in. A really good section on the egregious Jeffrey Epstein and the effect his relationship has had on the family. The prologue is interesting because she says this is the book she wishes Meghan Markle had read before Meghan Markle joined the family. It's very expository. It explains the sort of, not only the arcane rituals of this family, but the reason they do things so glacially slowly, and they're so cautious and they're so careful. And it kind of, it's kind of anthropologically unpicks the decisions that the Queen makes and the influences on her monarchy, on her sovereignty. So in that respect, I think it's got a bit of historical heft, because we're now in the sort of, the curtain's falling on this particular style of monarchy. So for that reason alone, I think it's a really interesting read. But the fact is, it's just rip-snortingly good fun. I mean, I laughed out loud several times. It's full of zingers. Tina Brown is quite mean in a really waspish, clever way. Nobody comes off looking great. Everybody gets a bit of a slap around the chops. And she's just brilliant with a one-liner. I mean, she describes being a Windsor woman like being a battery hen inside the Waldorf Astoria. She says Prince Andrew is a coroneted sleaze machine. Piers Morgan is the 800-pound gorilla of British morning television. She's incredibly rude about aristocratic behaviour and terrible teeth. And she sort of drops in these little sparkling gems that tell you everything you need to know about the private people behind the public position. So I actually found, strangely enough, the most compelling sections, the ones about the Queen Mother and the Queen, and also Princess Margaret.
You still there? It feels like we may have lost Leah. We'll just hold on for one more second. I'll just let you know perhaps what's coming up in the next hour while we see if we can reconnect. Kirsten Zemke after 11, ethnomusicologist at the University of Auckland School of Sciences. There is a very, very interesting mix in there today. Do we have her back? Oh, Leah, pick up. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Catherine. That's my phone line, I think. Yes, I'm not sure where I was up to, but... you get a little bit of everything. Elegant writing, lots of sort of inside scoops, small scoops, not big ones, and a very even-handed, I would say a pretty journalistic even-handedness.
What about the recent controversy, specifically the Harry's departure from the royal family and the sort of war of words that continues there? Does she have any particular insights?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a big chunky section at the back about Harry and Meghan's decisions to step away. And again, I mean, I think she is both sympathetic and empathetic to the challenges they faced, but also, again, quite, I would say, unsympathetic to some of their decisions. One thing you do glean from this is that she does respect Tina Brown, the kind of dutiful royals. I mean, she does... I think she sees that kind of old-fashioned duty above all else, inscrutability of the crown, not indulging in emotional outbursts. Those things, and chasing celebrity for the sake of it, those things threaten the sovereign, the monarchy. And I think that if you were going to say who does Tina Brown admire the most, it would probably be the Queen's behaviour. And, you know, frankly, Kate Middleton is in that mould, whereas Harry, she sort of explained exactly his fury at the press, his sort of unresolved anger at his mother's death, and a lot of that is justified, but that he's made some pretty difficult decisions that she doesn't necessarily admire. So, yeah, I mean...
I suppose it's a well-worn path. Do you feel like there is, through sources, some little, you know, tidbits at least, if not great insights that you hadn't known before?
Yeah, completely. And you're in for a ride. I mean, you come for the gossip in a way, but you stay for the prose. Nobody writes a royal story better than Tina Brown. I honestly think she's cornered the market. And this is probably the one to get, I think.
Thank you. Leah McFall has reviewed The Palace Papers by Tina Brown, published by Penguin Random House. $40 the price. It's a very large paperback.